AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a wonderful weekend. Debbie and I were in Round Top, Texas. That's like the antique capital of America, it seems. People come in from everywhere to this little dinky town, Round Top, Texas. But we've been, for the last 5 years, been going there with Houston's First Baptist Church and their newlywed and close class. And we have been honored and privileged to get to speak to these young couples about marriage. And it's always been such a great time. This was probably, in my opinion, the best one we ever had as far as God just working and the Spirit of the Lord moving. And it was very, very special. It's always special for Debbie and me personally, because when we start focusing in on talking about marriage, talking about biblical principles associated with marriage, then we start saying, hey, are we doing these things? I shared with the group on Sunday when we were talking about leaving a legacy. I said, here's the thing. We've been talking about all these wonderful biblical principles that God gives us to have a great marriage, because the Lord is all about us having a great marriage. And I said, here's the formula. Information minus application equals information. You're not going, Jesus said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So information minus application equals just information. You just fill up a notebook, but information plus application equals transformation. And so we have to know, if you know these things, Jesus said, you're blessed if you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing, but you have to know to do. And so we listen, we learn, and then we apply. So James says, don't be a forgetful hearer of the word, but be an effectual doer of the word. So that was our encouragement to those couples. Hey, put these things into practice in your life. And burn the ship of divorce. Divorce doesn't exist. It's not for you. You just work out any problem that you have by God's grace. Marriage is two-man volleyball. And your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is your teammate. And you want to work things out together. The devil is out there. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We resist him firm in our faith. And we know, as Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Well, I want to talk to you today about the gospel. What is the gospel? Do we really know the gospel? And do we understand, as Paul said, we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. Do we understand how the devil works to pervert the gospel? Here's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary, other than what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, anathema, eternally condemned. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Very strong words from the Apostle Paul. Listen, the devil is the original perverter. He perverts everything. Everything that God gives to us that is good and wholesome and right, the devil gets involved and he perverts it. Now, the greatest thing God ever gave to us, if we put it in those terms, obviously it's the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus is bringing salvation. It's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it makes total sense that the devil would pervert that. Why? Because the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's through the gospel that he brought. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone is the way to salvation. Now, there are two things that I ran across today. I'd heard about one of these things, but I did a little research on it this morning. It has to do with the Christian recording artist Brandon Lake. And Brandon Lake is the worship pastor at Seacoast Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Seems like a good guy. He was on a program, I think it was April 1st or early April 2026, called Nashville Now. It's a program produced by the Rolling Stone magazine. And this guy was asking him about his Buddhism, and he said he describes himself as a Buddhist Christian. And he said, you know, I grew up Catholic, and when I was going through a rough time, I turned to Buddhism, and I found a lot of help from Buddhism. And so he said, what do you think about that? Does the church have an open door for me, a Buddhist Christian? So strange, the question, but a very easy answer. Well, here's how Brandon Lake answered the question.
I think Jesus would love to sit down with you, would love to have this conversation with, and you can. I would hope the church would also be that open. Like, why would you not have a place here?
Yeah.
Even if we disagree on something, like, is that not what the church is supposed to be, is a community? And when we might go, hey, we believe this, but if you don't agree, why would our doors be closed to you?
Mm-hmm.
When did Jesus, the only person I feel like I remember reading in the Bible that Jesus would kind of shoo away or kind of snap at was the Pharisee, was the one that said, you know, like would shame people when they've got sin in their own lives. They've got questions in their own lives. And so, I can believe what I can believe and still be able to sit down and share a meal and go, we might not align on these things, but like, doesn't God call me to love you and to listen? And like, you might read something from that book that's like, oh man, that makes me think like, I need to spend more time, you know, doing this or that. Like, I think there's something we can all learn from one another, even if I know, I believe this is the way for me. This is a way for mankind to have a relationship with God. But like, I think there's so much that can be gleaned from sitting down across the table. And man, I would be heartbroken if you tried to show up somewhere and you're like, hey, this is kind of what I identify as right now. And they're like, you can't enter these doors. Yeah. I don't think that's what the church is called to do. And so, yeah.
Okay. So that was Brandon Lake's answer about a Christian Buddhist. And is there room for me at the table, so to speak? Would you open the doors of the church to me? And, you know, he tried to answer it with love. You know, we love you and you're a human being. And for sure, we'd have that conversation. We wouldn't shun you. Well, but that's not the question. The question is, does the church accept that as a reasonable, viable way, so to speak, into the church? And can I believe this and still be an active part of the church? Well, the answer is obviously no. The church, we stand up for what is true. We're not going to say, oh yeah, you can add works to the gospel, that's fine. You can add Buddhism to the gospel, yeah, that's fine, because Jesus, he's just a big ball of mush. He's just a big ball of love. He's full of grace and not truth. When the Bible says very specifically, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Those two things. It's not he's half grace, half truth. He's full, 100% grace, 100% truth. Let me tell you a little bit about what Buddhism believes. It's non-theistic. There's no God in Buddhism. It's all about ending suffering through insight and ethical living. It's walking an eightfold path to reach nirvana, which is the end of suffering. So what is the eightfold path? The right view, the right intention, the right speech, the right action, the right livelihood, the right effort, the right mindfulness, the right concentration. It teaches about karma and rebirth, and the goal is to attain enlightenment and nirvana. It has five precepts: no killing or harming any living being, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no intoxicants. Well, those are all good things, but that is not Christianity, and that doesn't mix with Christianity. And so Brandon Lake needed to just be upfront. Hey, guy, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I tell you this a lot on the radio program, that if you want to understand the exclusiveness of salvation, go back to Genesis, go back to Genesis 6 and 7 and the ark, because the ark is a picture of Jesus. There were not many arks. There was one. And you were either in the ark or you were under the judgment of God and you were drowned. There's no in between. So you're either a follower of Jesus and you give your heart and life to Jesus because he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's exclusive. He says in John 8:24, unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. So if I had been asked that question, as Brandon Lake was asked that question, I would say, the doors of the church are open to anyone and everyone to hear the truth and to respond to the truth. But it's not the doors of the church are not open so that people bring in their own ideas about things, and we say, yeah, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want because God's just a big ball of mushy love. No, that's not true. And so listen to it again. Paul said, but even if we, he puts himself in this category, but even if we, Galatians 1:8, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Now, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Muhammad said that he was visited by some kind of angelic being. He even wondered to his wife, I don't know if it was holy or demonic. And she said, well, obviously it was a holy angel because you're a holy man. He had questions as to was I in the presence of a demon? Well, yes, he was. He was in the presence, I believe, of Satan. And see, here's the thing. You have what is true, what God gives us. Everything is either coming from God or it's not. Now, you can say, well, the book of Galatians came from the Apostle Paul. All of the Bible came from men. Yeah, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So God was speaking through these people. He didn't supersede and bypass their humanity. And that's why, you know, I've said before that the Bible is not written like men are fountain pens. You know, and just, you know, if I write and I have 10 different pens, my writing style's all the same, although the 10 different pens would look different on the paper, but the writing would be the same. Well, God didn't do that. He didn't pick up the Apostle Paul and just write with him and pick up the Apostle Peter and just write with him. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Think of the Bible writers as instruments. And so a trumpet sounds different than a flute. And a flute sounds different than a clarinet, and a clarinet sounds different than a trombone. But all of them can together play beautiful music and play the same symphony. And that's how God, men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So God spoke through people, and it is God's word, and we don't mess with it. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about the exclusivity of the gospel. The devil wants to pervert it, and we must hold up what is true.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the exclusivity of the gospel. The little song that I learned in college said this: there's one way to peace through the power of the cross. His banner over me is love. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is not a way. He's not a truth. He's not a life. He's the. He's exclusive. Adrian Rogers used to say, Jesus is not a good way to get to heaven. Jesus is not even the best way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And unless you believe, Jesus said, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. Well, in our efforts, and it seemed to me that Brandon Lake, when he was asked the question about being a Buddhist Christian, in our efforts to be so loving and so open and so, yeah, we want to sit down and talk to you about this, we water down the gospel and we make people think it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe. It is not okay. Now, do Christians, true born-again Christians, do we differ on the finer points of theology? Yes. I had somebody email me and said, because I believed that Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday and rose on Sunday, that my eternal soul was at stake, that I was a false teacher. Conservative Christianity through the centuries has believed that Jesus died on Friday and rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. But people get hung up with, well, wait a minute. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and you have to have 72 hours if it's 3 days and three nights. And the response to that was a Hebrew idiom, because any part of a day in the mind of a Jew was considered a day. So if Jesus is in the tomb from Friday to Sunday, that counts as 3 days. Destroy this temple, Jesus said, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. So anyway, the guy said, your soul is at stake, and you're a false teacher. You need to repent. And I said to him, well, good grief. You think that that is the deal breaker? If some believe Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday and others believe Jesus was crucified on a Thursday, and the majority of Christians believe Jesus was crucified on a Friday, that is not a deal breaker on the gospel. You know, when it comes to spiritual gifts, how you view the sign gifts, speaking in tongues and healings and those kinds of things, that's not a deal breaker for the gospel. How you view the second coming, it's not a deal breaker. I have lots of solid Christian friends who are amillennial. That means that they don't believe there is a millennial kingdom coming. They don't believe about the tribulation period, about the rise of the Antichrist, about the rapture of the church. They're not looking at it the way I do and the way many do. But that doesn't mean that we're not brothers in Christ. So in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, charity or love. So It is critical that we understand the gospel is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Those are non-negotiable. So if somebody comes in and says, well, I'm a Buddhist Christian, it's like, you can't be. Buddhism doesn't believe there's a God. It's non-theistic. Buddhism is rooted in find the truth in yourself. It's just a totally different beast. And so, you know, hey, you were believing this, you need to repent and believe the gospel. You know, what is repentance? It's changing your mind. We illustrate it by turning around, and it is, there's a sense of turning around, but it's changing your mind, what you believe about sin, what you believe about self, what you believe about the Savior. Jesus, he is the only one. Acts 4:12, Peter declared before the Sanhedrin, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, you probably have heard there's a feud going on social media between President Trump and the Pope. The Pope had made some statements that Trump didn't like, so he comes at him, and you know, in typical Trump fashion, you just wish he wouldn't do that stuff. Just stay out of those kinds of verbal back and forths. But and then there's a picture that Trump posted. It evidently is real, that Trump posted of himself where he supposedly looks like Jesus and he's healing. And I mean, it's just like, that's blasphemous. And you need to take that down. Meg Basham posted and said, you need to take this down immediately. I don't understand why that guy does that. He's the president of the United States, and he can be very wise on one hand and very, very foolish on the other hand. I don't get it. And it's, rather than throw him under the bus, I'm going to say, hey, let's pray for him. I've stated repeatedly that guy does not understand the gospel. He's never given a clear testimony of faith in Christ. He doesn't understand what that is. Now, he hears it. He's heard the gospel from Franklin Graham, as one friend of mine told me who knows Franklin and has been with Franklin in the Oval Office. Franklin has shared the gospel with President Trump. Marco Rubio at Charlie Kirk's memorial service, he shared the gospel with the world. And Trump hears that, but it doesn't connect for whatever reason. And what he did was indefensible. He needs to take that down. But he's in this battle with the Pope. And the Pope is big on, you know, Jesus is not for war. And you know, he's never for war. And it's like, well, have you read Revelation 19? In righteousness, he judges and wages war. He wears a robe when he comes back at the second coming. He wears a robe dipped in blood. It's not his own blood. It's the blood of his vanquished foes. This isn't his first rodeo. And so God is a God of vengeance. As he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And so we have to have the right view of God. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 9, let not the rich man boast of his riches, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Well, from what the Pope has posted, he's creating a Jesus out of his own imagination, a God out of his own imagination. That's not the God of the Bible. Now, I did do a little research on Vatican II. You know, Vatican II is what the Catholics go by, the Second Vatican Council, 1962 to 1965, and it addresses Islam. And here are some of the things that Vatican II says about Islam and Muslims or Mohammedans, as they refer to it in the documents. The plan of salvation, this is a quote, but the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. The God of Islam is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, as we sing that song, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And the God of the Bible in the New Testament, as he's revealed to us in flesh and blood, is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. In the beginning, John says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Okay, you say, who is the Word? Well, verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ. It's undeniable. And the Word was God. And who is God? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but of the Son, he says, God the Father says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Hebrews 1 says that he is the exact representation of his nature. And so God revealed himself to us in the New Testament as one of us, as the God who took on human flesh and came for a mission. And what was that mission? To die on the cross and rise again from the dead, to conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave, to make a way where there seemed to be no way. He is the one and only Savior and Lord. You know, it says in Ephesians, let me read this to make sure I get everything in here correct. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now listen to this. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The God of the Muslim is not the one God who is over all and through all and in all. There is the true God, true north, and then everything else. There is things either come from God or they come from the devil. They're just two forces in the world, if you want to look at it like that. There's the two kingdoms, that would be a better way to say it. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness. And things are either coming from the kingdom of God or they're coming from the kingdom of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So Islam is a false religion. Where does false religion come from? It comes from the father of lies. So here's Vatican II goes on to say this. The church regards with esteem also the Muslims. They adore the one God living and subsisting in himself, merciful and all-powerful. The God of Islam is not merciful. The creator of heaven and earth, who has spoken to men, they take pains to submit wholeheartedly to even his inscrutable decrees, just as Abraham, with whom the faith of Islam takes pleasure in linking itself, submitted to God. Though they do not acknowledge Jesus as God, they revere him as a prophet. Well, so what? Jesus is not a prophet. He is God. He is the one who created all things. Well, we're not saying he's that. We're saying these nice things, other nice things about him. But of course, he's not God. Well, yeah, that's who he is. So anything you say about him that is other than that is a lie. I don't care how many nice accolades you want to put on it. That's a lie. They do not acknowledge Jesus as God. They revere him as a prophet. They also honor Mary, his virgin mother. At times, they even call on her with devotion. In addition, they await the day of judgment when God will render their deserts to all those who have been raised up from the dead. Finally, they value the moral life and worship God, especially through prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. They're believing a lie. And what is going to happen to them? They're not in the ark, so they're going to perish. And so what's the job of a Christian? To tell people the truth. And so if somebody asks you in a setting about Christian Buddhism or Christian Islam, Chrislam, as we try and put those two things together, they are totally incompatible. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How is a man saved? By grace through faith. And how do you know a man is saved? By grace through faith. His life changes. And you see in his life good works. As James, the half-brother of the Lord, said, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead, being by itself. It's faith alone that saves, but true saving faith is never alone. It always brings with it good works, because the Lord has come to live inside. He's changed you from the inside out, and people will notice. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Let me just piggyback on the little blurb that was talked about, Activate Summit 2026. Debbie and I are going to be at Activate Summit. We're one of the speakers, and July 16th through the 18th. I encourage you to check it out. Go online, afa.net/summit. It really is a great conference. It's great for the whole family, and you'll learn a lot. You'll meet new friends. I look forward to meeting all those who will be a part of that. We have a big meet and greet back at American Family Radio, American Family Association, at their offices on, that's Friday night. But it's going to be a great, great time. So check it out, afa.net/summit. I'm going to be talking about marriage and family, and we have some fun things to share, and we're going to laugh together, and we're going to learn together. So it's going to be a great, great time. We're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We've been talking today about the exclusiveness of the gospel. As I mentioned, President Trump and the Pope going back and forth, going after each other. The Pope not really going after Trump directly, but just saying things Trump didn't like. And so Trump went after him. And, you know, when we think about, okay, how does the Pope look at the world? How does he view Islam? Well, evidently he views it based on Vatican II, which is everybody's trying to find this common ground. There is no common ground there. Islam worships a false god. It's not the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. Buddhism, as we've been talking about, Christian Buddhism, as Brandon Lake was asked that question, Buddhism is non-theistic. They don't even have a God in Buddhism. It's all, you know, get in touch with your inner self, and all that stuff is not of God. And as we said, you can boil it down. Everything is either coming from God or it's coming from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Jesus said to those Jews that were arguing with him in John chapter 8, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of the father of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. Every lie is traced back to the devil. Doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. And so we need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. And we need to be armed with the truth. And not in an arrogant way, but in a loving way to speak the truth in love. And to be bold enough to stand up and say, no, what you believe is wrong. And that is, you believe in another Jesus whom we have not preached, as Paul told the Corinthians. And that Jesus, like the old light beer commercial, tastes great, less filling. Yeah, he may taste great and he may be less filling, but he's not real and he doesn't save. And so we lift up the real Jesus who is mighty to save, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have Lynn on the phone from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I go to this thrift store, and they have free Bibles and religious stuff. And anyway, like when I see the Book of Mormon, I just take it with me and, you know, give it its right place. And anyway, then this one Bible I picked up, I wanted to see what it was. And if they're good, I return them, you know, back to there
right,
so somebody can get them. It's by the World Bible School, and it's called the World Bible School Study Edition. And one day I left my regular Bible in the car, and I was doing the quiet time in the morning, so I wanted to not make noise outside. But anyway, so I looked in that Bible. I was reading in Mark, and near the end of Mark, it says, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include Mark 16, 9 through 20. And basically it says, so it has that part in here, and it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So anyway, I was just saying that kind of surprised me that it has something in there like that.
Yeah, it's true that many of the older manuscripts don't contain that. You'll find that in a lot of Bibles that will have that bracketed or something like that to just show you. You know, it's kind of like the story of Jesus and the woman caught in the very act of adultery, that's not contained in a lot of the ancient manuscripts. So that's not lying to you. That's just telling you the truth of that. Here's the thing about Mark 16. I think you need to just be aware of the fact that many manuscripts don't contain that. If you come up with a passage that you say, I'm basing everything of what I believe on this passage in Mark 16 that may not coincide with the rest of the Bible, I'd be real careful with that. Obviously, John 8, the woman caught in the very act of adultery, that fits in with the Bible. Some have said, well, did that really happen? Or was that added later? I think it really happened. Even if it didn't really happen, it doesn't contradict what Jesus does. And John or Luke chapter 7 is a very similar type of story in the Bible. But we just, the textual critics and those that have put the scripture together, they're just trying to tell you, hey, you need to know this, that when we look at all the preponderance of the ancient manuscripts, this is not included. And so it's strange to think Mark would close out his gospel the way, in verse 8. And, it's just everybody goes home. And that doesn't seem right. So that's a good question, though, Lynn. And I'll do a little more research on that. I had researched that at one time, but slept since then. So I need to refresh myself on the arguments there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate that. Well, we have my good friend, Lisa from Arkansas. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
John's here with me.
Hey, John.
Good morning.
Hey, on the Brandon Lake topic, I really struggle. I serve on the worship team and sing, and sometimes we do songs from Brandon Lake, Elevation, Hillsong, Bethel, and I just really struggle. Sometimes the songs are very solid, and of course they have great music that people want to listen to, but I really struggle at the source, and when you have to document where that source came from, I feel like we're endorsing those churches, and if they were to go to that and say, oh, I like this song, I want to go check out their church or whatever, they're very heretical, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because I'm really feeling convicted, I'm considering stepping down, and just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah, great question, Lisa. I have some of the same concerns, and there are those that say, hey, don't sing any of their music because you give credibility to them, and if somebody does exactly what you're saying, they go and say, oh, I'm going to check this out, and then they start hearing their sermons or whatever. It's like, hey, this is not right. Why are we singing their music? The other side of the coin would be, well, yeah, but what this song says is solid, so why can't we sing what is solid? And you could say, well, I guess we can sing what is solid. It's just the ramifications of that could be negative. And so I think that would be somewhat of a gray area, a Romans 14 area. It's like, can I sing this song even though these people, preach things that are not right? So the scripture says, let each person be convinced in his own mind. But I do think, I'm with you, I think churches need to look at that a lot more closely and say, I don't know if we can keep singing that. Now, Brandon Lake is not at, he's not at one of those churches. I've never researched sermons from his church, Seacoast Church in Charleston, South Carolina. But it doesn't sound like, from what I can tell, Brandon Lake is heretical at all. He didn't answer the question very well, though, when he was posed the question about Buddhism and Christianity. But I think he believes the truth, even though he didn't do a great job, in my opinion, of answering that question. But I do think, Lisa, before you step down, I would talk to the pastor about it and just say, you know, help me out here because I'm struggling. And he may be struggling too. And he may say, yeah, we need to look more closely at the songs that we sing. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I appreciate that. I feel a great weight because I am up on stage and we are leading people in worship. But the other, the other issue is we're paying royalties to these people to sing their songs. So now I think, okay, are we financially supporting them?
Well, I think you are regardless because you pay for a CCLI license or something
right.
like that. So it's
yes.
all lumped
yes,
together.
We do.
So I think okay. you would be, if it's part of that, you're paying for it anyway. So
that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But I would do that.
I appreciate it, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you guys. Hope all is well with you and the girls.
Yep, it is. Everything's good. Just the usual adult children stuff,
Yeah.
But,
oh, I know.
Hopefully we'll get to see you and Debbie one day soon. So.
All right. Sounds good. Well, God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. We have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thank you so much on how you started out with the exclusivity of salvation. I use this sometimes. I try to draw a word picture or an analogy. It would be as though if a president of the United States, what we call the most powerful individual in the world, doesn't matter which one, but would happen to stick his finger on a phone address book and pick the name and a number and say, I want to have lunch with this individual. And suddenly I got a call that said, I'm having Secret Service pick you up, and I'm bringing you through the airports to my White House to have lunch with me. And I'm not believing it. And then all of a sudden, a black car pulls up and it's Secret Service. They take me to the airport. I cannot believe what's going on. I go in. The president says, I don't want to know anything about what you think about the financials or the war or anything. I only picked you because I wanted to have a relationship with you. And that would be miraculous if that happened on this earth in a human form. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. And that's all he's saying. I want all humans to be born again. Mm-hmm. And it's a free will thing. And I could have told the Secret Service, no, I'm not going, but I was invited to go. And that's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, and nothing can be added to that. And that's right. why I love your program.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we come, we have that expression, it's my way or the highway. Well, when it comes to the Lord, you come his way or you don't come at all. And we see that in Genesis chapter 4, right after the fall. How did Cain come to worship the Lord? He came his own way. Woe to those, the Bible says in the New Testament, they have gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain is the way of pride. It's the way of, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God. And he better accept it, or I'm not coming back. Well, he doesn't accept it. And the Lord said he didn't have regard for Cain and his offering. And the Lord said, Cain, why are you so angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, if you don't come my way, behold, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, yet you must master it. And as we know, Cain did not respond to the Lord. He didn't come the Lord's way. Abel did, and Abel was rewarded for his faith. Now, Cain killed him, but the Lord took him to glory. Where is Abel today? He's in heaven. Where is Cain today? Well, he's in Hades awaiting a final judgment. Woe to those. They have gone the way of Cain. And so I appreciate that, Marty. Cindy, I'm sorry we ran out of time. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org. Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. If you have a question or comment, I'd be more than happy to hear from you and to respond to it. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as His witness. And remember to pray for our country. Pray for President Trump. He needs our prayers. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.